following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
At the Van Heusen sale at JCPenney, it's easy to up your style quotient with a brand like Van Heusen. Dress shirts are an incredible $19.99. No iron sports shirts, $19.99. And cotton-rich polos, $21.99. Head to the men's store inside JCPenney or visit jcp.com/Van Heusen. Plus, JCPenney and Van Heusen have teamed up to give you the power to vote. Visit jcp.com/fanschoice to vote for who you want to see in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. JCPenney. Some exclusions apply. Offer ends October 30th.
Hi, my name is Todd. I own and operate a local BP station. My favorite part of the job is seeing our customers every day. Over the years, my employees and I have gotten to know many of them on a first-name basis, and we truly believe they're some of the friendliest people we have ever met. Our number one goal is to provide you with quality gasoline and the best service possible. We appreciate your business over the years, and would like to thank you again for your support. Thank you.
It's 11 o'clock.
It's time to play that real kick-ass open.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show with sports director Doug Duda.
Doug Duda with a sports update on ESPN.
Pick and roll, and Olmstead is wide open from Romy. And he's got him locked up, and he gets the pin. Michael Klingensmith gets passed, knocked away by Ritschka. Jesse goes in for the layup, and it's up and in. And Ravenna's going to win state.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
It is now a new trophy. We have a new champion. A new champion is crowned.
Be big. I'll be big anyway. I don't know how much of a help I'll be. Yeah,
this is so Apollo Creed and Rocky in the middle of the ring.
And now it's time for the best sports show in Central Nebraska.
I wouldn't go that far, Mayor.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show.
Makeham awaits a shotgun snap, gets it, looks, getting rushed, gets hit, goes down. He's brought down by Deshaun Gomes, who stops this Jayhawk drive with a sack back at the 41.
Quinn Makeham, the quarterback, gets the snap. Here comes a blitz. He steps up. He's hit. He's dropped. Levante David gets his fourth sack of the year, and the Huskers do get off the field with that third down play.
Sims the deep back. Turn, fake the handoff, back to throw is Makeham, looking, now rolling out, he's going to try to run for it, that's not going to work. Huskers grab him and drill him at the 13-yard line. Levante David, Eric Haig, knock him down, loss of two, it's a three and out. Kansas will be forced to punt. A blitz coming off the edge by Kansas. Burkhead picks it up, Martinez throws it downfield, pass caught by McNeil, inside the 20, down to the 17-yard line. Warfield makes a tackle, it's a pickup and a play of 21 yards. Roy Hedo off to his left, a wing to the far side. Snap back, Burkhead out of the Wildcat, Rex Burkhead off the left side, in for 6 points. Touchdown, Rex Burkhead. Huskers grab a 6-0 lead. Snap back to Tater. Looks, sets, throws downfield. Niles Paul makes a catch. He's got a first down. Yeah, let's be safe. Let's go get 26 yards up to the 38-yard line. What a leaping grab by Niles Paul. There's the handoff to Roy off the right side. 15, Roy to the 10. Bounces to the outside. 5, leans. Say State in bounds. That's a touchdown. Martinez turns. Fakes a handoff, keeps it himself, has a first down to midfield. Martinez, 45, shoved out of bounds around the 39-yard line by Chris Harris. Martinez explodes for 18 yards and a Husker first down. Two wide receivers left and right. Back to throw is Makeham. Here comes a rush, steps up, gets hit, goes down. Jared Crick with a sack for the Huskers, knocking Makeham down, stopping the drive for the Jayhawks.
Brent Maher to hold it. P.J. Mangieri to snap it back. It's down, the kick on its way. And the kick is good. And Nebraska extends their lead to 17-0. Snap back, Makeham in the end zone. Steps up, throws it downfield, looking for Bashirs. It's intercepted. Alfonso Dinard at midfield. Dinard reversing course. Caught up the Husker 45 and knocked down. Alfonso Dinard, welcome back. Fourth INT of the year for Dinard.
This is going to be a 24-yard attempt. High snap. Maher gets it down. The kick is up and good, and that makes it a 20-3 Husker lead. 3:44 is all we have left in this one. Nebraska 20, Kansas 3. Only 87 yards of offense for the Jayhawks tonight against the Blackshirts.
And welcome to Monday, Doug and Daddy's Show. Huskers holding Kansas to 87 total yards. That is an astonishing feat. I don't care who you're playing in Division I football and the offenses that are put on the field today. Remember, this is a team that scored a bundle of points, 35 unanswered, in the fourth quarter just a week ago. We're going to have Husker talk today. We're going to have Merck and Morris today. Hastings College coming off a good win versus Nebraska Wesleyan, 17-14 in a game which they had basically, I think, a control of till maybe the late touchdown in the second half there that put a little pressure on them, but jumped on them early with the help of a few turnovers, and they end their season 5-5. And then we'll talk to Coach Darryl Morris about a very, very disappointing triple overtime loss to Colorado School of Mines, and then the Lopers are out of the playoff picture. They are not in the Division II playoffs. The field of 24 was set. The Lopers left out of that. Mines, of course, the lone RMAC team to get in, and that's very, very disappointing when two of your losses of the year come both in overtime. One the first game out of the chute to Wayne State, the last one of the year, 55-53, triple overtime loss on the road to the number 21 team in the country. So that's sad there. But it's
Do you understand it?
What's that?
Do you understand them being left out?
Well, when you bring it down to regional, the region, when the region deal is tossed in, but when you think you're the eighth team in the country, you fall to the middle, I guess it's 24 teams make it, you're one of those teams, automatically it looks like they should be in. They'd be in a lot of other regions. They're just not in this one.
It's Division I is powerful in the East and nothing else is. Is that the deal? Because the East, I mean, we've talked about this with volleyball with the Lopers for a
Same
long
deal.
Time, women's basketball, that the teams that come from the East are terrible. I mean, they wouldn't survive in any region that the UNK has played in.
For instance, the volleyball region that UNK in is tougher than the Elite Eight will be. The region,
no doubt,
is tougher than the Elite Eight. And obviously, only one of those teams is going to advance to the Elite Eight. And should they advance to the Elite Eight, they should have an excellent opportunity to bring home a national title. That being said, you get so much emotion, so much heart goes into the regional tournament. How much do you have left for the national tournament? We'll have to wait and see. But nonetheless, that's just the way it is. Obviously, with the finances, the way things are, they bring it down to region. They've done that for a long time. Probably don't always get a true national champion, but it is disappointing to put this team is one of the deserves to be in the playoffs, folks. If you didn't get to see the Lopers play this year, this team to overcome the injuries they overcame, to do the things they did, it's hugely disappointing for this team to miss out on a playoff.
Well, it hurts kids like Rustin Dring and Kyle Kaiser, who could once again be seen on a national stage and maybe even help further their career. Football, this just in, Cody Hawkins, Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week. Wow, stellar game he had. I think, 18 completions and 266 yards, but they won. So I guess they get a little love on the way out. State Volleyball, we're going to talk with Sharon Zavala and Michelle Harrington for a couple of minutes here before the half hour is over, as Grand Island Central Catholic and Lawrence Nelson from the area are state champions. Also, congratulations to Kearney Catholic and Grand Island Northwest. They bring home the state runner-up trophy. Sandy Creek had a good season as well, and to all the teams that competed at the state tournament. And the feeling there is that Grand Island did fine. No major hiccups anywhere, it doesn't sound like. Just that it's not Lincoln. And, you know, some people are still getting used to that. So we'll see how that moves along. The phone lines are always open. Bob Jensen's going to join us on the program today. State football playoffs. We're down to the finals in A and B. Semifinals today in D. Semifinals tomorrow in C. Got some great games for you. So Bob's going to join us as well. The number is 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. You still look like you're shaking in your shack shakers for Reverend Horton Hoot last night, big fella. I'm just throwing that out. And then also the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You know, I'm going to be honest. We've got an hour program today. We've got a lot to get to, and we want to talk Huskers. But the feeling of this game still lingers today, that it was just about as blah a game. And it's great that Nebraska won.
2 hours and 37-minute game time.
Everybody's happy that Nebraska won. There's not a lot of bitching that Nebraska didn't blow them out a little bit more. There's some concern about that. Nebraska did have 397 yards, 400 yards of offense, but only got 20 points on the board. And with it being cold and no touchdowns in the second half, some, you know, just went, man. And it's just, it was a blah feeling in the stadium. It was a blah feeling in the press box. It was the first cool game, truly cool game of the year. And I don't know what there is to talk about here. We all know that we all know what happened. A win's a win. And if you're going to nitpick on the game, it just I don't want to go there today. 20-3, Huskers are going to have to play better, Tony. And I mean, it's we're into the quandary, and we talked about this earlier. Obviously, everybody's going, Sean Watson, come on. But you know what? It sounds like, and again, the coaches don't want to talk about it, which then brings pressure back upon them from the fans, which then in turn they don't care about because the fans aren't coaching the game they are. But at the end of the year or a year down the road, remember, we're starting to hear about 2 years ago how bad this team was. I mean, Bo Pelini is saying 2 years ago when we went down to the Gator Bowl and won that, this was a bad football team, especially defensively. And now 2 years later, that's coming out. Then all of a sudden we hear about, you know, this year how bad Zach Lee's arm was last year, and that's why we struggle so much offensively. It sounds like Saturday Nebraska wasn't even sure that they could put a quarterback out there, and the rumor boards were flying that Ron Kellogg the third might have to play in this football game because Cody Green hurt, concussion unconfirmed, not officially. Zach Lee, some people say he's out for the year, unconfirmed. Coaches won't say that. They say he's week to week, not even day to day. Taylor Martinez, still a bad ankle. Finally got the adrenaline going, ran on it a little bit in the second half. So when you go into a football game without a quarterback, you have to do what you have to do. And Nebraska did what they needed to do, and they hit a couple of nice plays. And, hey, Niles Paul can catch the ball 1 week on, 1 week off. But Nebraska's going to have to click. I can't figure Texas A&M out. They were getting thumped by Baylor and then scored 28 or 31 unanswered points to win that football game on Saturday.
Yeah, that was wild. That was wild watching the scoreboard on that one. But, Doug, you're absolutely right about the Huskers, and everybody wants more information about the quarterback position. You're not going to get it, especially with a game at Texas A&M. They're going to go out there. Everybody's fine. Everybody's ready to go. And that's been Bo Pelini's stance from the beginning of this whole thing. Obviously, Taylor Martinez still is not himself from what he was early in the season. He does not have that initial, when it comes to pushing off and that initial quickness for 2 or 3 yards where he's faster than everyone else on the field. He does not have that right now. Hopefully, this week he will get it back. Because I'm telling you, and you know, I can go back to this summer when I said this would be the toughest game on the schedule and still should have been the toughest game on the schedule. You can say we lost to Texas, and so that makes it the toughest game on the schedule. Well, everybody's beating Texas. It's a complete fluke we lost to Texas, and that's humiliating when you look back on it because we had them at home. But this is going to be a great game on Saturday night.
Let's go to the Dan Popper inbox. A couple of different things here. Brandon says, why do people hate Sean Watson so much? If we have a great game, it's usually because of the Pelini brothers. But when we have a bad game, it's because of Watson. Even if we score 31, but give up 30 and probably should have been 32, it was somehow Watson's fault, according to Brandon, who goes on to congratulate you on your 50-serve challenge last week and says, I've gotten into my vehicle well over 50 times and have never been half in, half out when it backs out of my garage dragging me along. But his daddy knows that doesn't prove that mishaps can't happen.
Let me see.
Ken says, while driving home, this is Irish Ken, while driving home from the state volleyball tournament in Grand Island, I passed through Gibbon and experienced the pungent odor, as we often do driving by Gibbon Pack. That odor reappeared even stronger this morning as I was checking out the final volleyball rankings in the Omaha World Herald and Lincoln Journal Star. I noticed that there was only one number two ranked team that did not play in the state championship match. Ah, yes, the sports media love affair continues. You know, you're right, and I don't want to make a stink over this, Ken, but you are right. And I asked Ron Powell from the Lincoln Journal Star right after the C1 championship match because I knew, I said, so, who's number two, SCOTUS or Kearney Catholic? And that's what Irish Ken is referring to. He says, well, we'll have to see how SCOTUS does in the consolation game. Well, guess what? Sandy Creek took a set. This is total BS that Columbus SCOTUS is ranked second. Now, I'm not saying Columbus SCOTUS is not a better team than Kearney Catholic because I don't know what would happen if they played. I think Kearney Catholic would have more than their hands full. But how you can justify Columbus SCOTUS above Kearney Catholic when the Stars also took a set from them, made the state championship game, had less losses. I think it comes down to them losing to Bishop Newman, a barely 500 team earlier this year. I guess that's what it is. But it does look bad when out of six classes, the top two teams in five of those classes played in the state final, and you can't give me a good reason why Columbus SCOTUS is ahead of Kearney Catholic. Here was your opportunity to not have Columbus SCOTUS 1 or 2, and yet you did. And again, in the grand scheme of things, what's it matter? Kearney Catholic has the number two trophy. That's all that matters.
Is the out of the seven losses SCOTUS have, how many is the Central Catholic?
Four.
Four of those.
Yeah, regular season, conference, districts, state. We'll take a break and talk with Sharon Zavala of Grand Island Central Catholic, Michelle Harrington from Hardington Cedar Catholic, and we've got Bob Jensen, Merck and Morris, all to come. Stay with us.
For the past year, men all over the country have been seeing results with the Charger Pack. That's why Complete Nutrition is excited to announce that during the entire month of November, the Charger Pack is 25% off. Formulated for men over 30, the Charger Pack recharges your natural testosterone levels back to when you were young and peaking physically. The result is a leaner, meaner core, a naturally increased sex drive, and an adolescent supply of energy and stamina. So if you're a man over 30 looking to build lean muscle and replenish your energy levels, there's never been a better time to try the Charger Pack. This offer is only available for the month of November, so get to Complete Nutrition and get your 25% off Charger Pack today.
Complete Nutrition is located in Kearney at 41st and 2nd Avenue north of Sunmark. For more information, call 338-1-5th. That's 338-1348 or on the web at CompleteNutrition.com.
Complete Nutrition.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
You can't fix stupid.
Doug and Daddy give you a chance to sit in the front row to see Mr. You Can't Fix Stupid himself, comedian Ron White at the VRO Event Center November 19th. Just shoot an email anytime to DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Put the word stupid in the subject line and vent about something stupid you'd like to fix.
We had those Vikings by the horns.
They'll select some finalists from the best entries, and the drawing for the winning pair comes the day before the show. Listen for Doug and Daddy, 11 o'clock weekdays on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 50.
Possible early on today, but then skies will become cloudy with an isolated shower later in the day as well. With highs around 53, west winds will stay at about 5 to 15. There's an isolated chance of a shower tonight with a low at 33. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 46.
Falling asleep at the wheel again, baby. You're drifting over the line.
Back to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. As we roll along on a jam-packed Monday, maybe it's going to get a little calm when we get, you know, we're actually going to have to get start talking basketball and wrestling again, Daddy, on the high school level. We've been doing that a little bit on the collegiate level, but we're only 2 weeks away. They're starting, they're into practice already. And for those volleyball and football teams that have been done for a while, that doesn't seem like such a big deal. But for the teams that have either still competing or were competing this weekend, turn right around and get back into it. Don't forget our Doug and Daddy Show guests are taken care of by our fine folks at Burger King, where you can get $2 doubles with bacon for just $3. I had a buddy come up to me yesterday and say, don't ever let Burger King stop the $2 double deal. He goes, I could eat that every day. It's the best ever. Two locations in Kearney next to Walmart at 56th Street and 2nd Avenue, and the huge indoor playground for the kids near Kearney Cinema at 8th Street and 3rd Avenue, also in Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. Well, by now, she's getting the hang of this interview thing, becoming the winningest all-time volleyball coach ever and picking up her ninth state championship. Sharon Zavala, the head volleyball coach at Grand Island Central Catholic, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. And Sharon, once again, congratulations on the championship and another great season for the Crusaders.
Well, thanks a lot. Yes, it was a great season. And to finish undefeated, that's really a hard task to do, and a lot of credit to the kids.
Sharon, one set is all you lost
going into state.
Yeah. One set. Have you ever had another team come close to that?
No, not even close.
Did that put any pressure, Sharon, on the team here at State? I guess we always talk about pressure, and since they were close the last couple of years and it didn't happen, could you ever sense a change in their demeanor from the regular season to the state tournament?
Well, not really, since they were an older, more mature team, a senior team, but there is a lot of pressure, and we had talked about it, and I kind of prepared them for it. And I don't know if you really ever really prepare a high school girl for that kind of pressure, but they've been through it before with last year, and they learned a lot from that.
Sharon, did the path at State have to go through Columbus SCOTUS to make this deal the perfect deal?
I think so. I think so. You know, there was parts of our season where we had some tough games, and we had some parts of our season that weren't so tough. And I felt like you get the kids' attention more when they know it's going to be tough games.
Sharon Zavala, the head coach of the state champion Central Catholic Crusaders, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, you didn't have to play a lot of kids because there was just no reason to take minutes away from this great senior class. But it was every game I saw this year was so balanced, and it never seemed to change. I never did a game where one of the kids had 25 kills and nobody else had more than 10. I mean, how does Bailey continue to be friends with every single one of these hitters?
Oh, yeah, you know, I used the term one time that they're all hungry hitters. They all want the ball, but they also understand the team concept. And a lot of those girls are going to go on and play college ball, and that concept is there, and they have to get that. So, again, they were pulling for a state championship, and they knew this was what we had to do to beat some of these good teams.
Yeah, we talked about those kids signing last week and then Katie Brand next year going to K-State. But, Daddy, you know, one's coming to UNK, one's going to Regis, but then we have to put up with one going to Wayne and Steph and then also to UNO.
That's really disappointing, Sharon. It really is.
Yeah, well, yeah, spread the wealth, huh?
Did these girls, was that a conscious decision to break up? Was there any talk that two or three of them wanted to go to the same college and continue playing together?
You know, not really, because each coach at the college level is looking for a different type of player, what fits into their program. And so it was the coaches coming to the players, more so than the players going to those coaches.
Sharon, when you're behind closed doors, did the girls ever talk about, see where we match up with Papio? Just we're undefeated.
Yeah, they would love to play Papio. We wanted to play him last summer at the UNO team camp, and it didn't pan out. And we needed an extra game this year, and the girls are all wanting us to pick up Papio because they would have loved to see how we matched up with them. And after watching Papio play at the state tournament, I don't think we could match up with them. But
they were big and scary, I will tell you that. They are a great volleyball team. But, Coach, just kind of extending on that, the Omaha World Herald does have the all-class rankings, and they put you number two, and I don't think that's ever happened before. I mean, it's just kind of the cherry on top of an amazing, amazing career for these kids.
I don't think there's ever been a C team, I know, higher than maybe sixth, seventh, or eighth to end up on the – so it's an amazing accomplishment for this team.
Now, Sharon, everybody's going to think the cupboard's bare, but I always kid you, there's a freshman lurking, and Aaron Sorhan's one of them. You got Katie back. I know there's some people that are excited about the freshman and sophomore. What's it going to be like reloading next year?
Well, we're going to really be young. I'm only going to have two seniors next year. And, again, of course, our level's going to drop off, but I'll tell you what, these kids should be able to play defense because they have, in practice, taken a beating day in and day out with this senior club, and they've held their own. You know, they got stronger as the season went on, held their own. And I think, you know, it's going to take a while, but it's going to be a process, much like Kearney Catholic's team this year.
Sharon, who's better, Kearney Catholic or SCOTUS?
they each have their strengths in different ways, but I felt like both of them had the same kind of game plan coming in, playing us. And that was just stand back there, serve tough, serve deep, and disrupt our rhythm. And exactly what both teams did.
Okay, if you were ranking them, who would you put number two?
If
I
was ranking them. You're really putting me on the spot, you realize.
We won't make you pick. We won't make you pick.
Yeah, let's do.
No. She's in the conference with SCOTUS. What do you think? Come on. That's a perennial power.
Okay.
Besides, we don't want to hurt her mayoral candidacy here in a couple of years either.
That's
so,
a good point.
Sharon, you're the best. We appreciate it. It is so great to see another state championship there for those girls because what a career it's been, and we can't wait. We will be doing this again next season, right?
Yes, you will.
Sharon, thanks so much. Best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Sharon Zavala, the green clipboard and all, bring home another championship there for Grand Island Central Catholic. And they finish at 35-0 and pick up the championship.
I just stand back. You look at everybody else. You know, you go through here and you see, you know, some losses, but you see they put up the sets, and you go through the program, and I mean, Ogallala, I mean, you don't have to get very far. 0-2, 0-2, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1. I mean, you just go down. There's a lot of teams like that, and then you go to Central Catholic, and it's 0-0-0-0-0-1-0. You know, that's amazing.
And just taking a look at the final rankings from Ron Powell and Lincoln Journal Star, Central Catholic won, then SCOTUS, Kearney Catholic, Sandy Creek, and Syracuse. Minden got their just desserts. They were placed sixth. They got beat out by Kearney Catholic back in the sub-districts, and sometimes if you don't make it to state, they kind of forget about you. So congratulations to Minden on a fine 25-5 season. And for the top four teams, I think the other four could have been about anybody. The four teams that won on Thursday in C1 were pretty good. Pretty good. A couple of them maybe wouldn't have made it there if they'd been in other districts, but that's the way it always goes. And, you know, over at Lawrence Nelson, they're big fans of the wild card because sometimes that works out for you, and they get in to the state tournament after matching up with Sterling in the sub-district finals. Five sets. Lawrence Nelson, the Raiders, are up 2. Then all of a sudden, Sterling comes back. And then on Saturday, Sterling's up 2-0, and Lawrence Nelson comes back 28-26, 25-23, 15-13, and Michelle Harrington is the head coach of the Lawrence Nelson Raiders. And, Coach, hey, congratulations to the girls and to the school on the state championship.
Thank you very much. It's been an exciting weekend.
Well, I'll tell you what, emotion. The first time you go through something like this, the first state final appearance as a consolidated school there for Lawrence Nelson, the first time you go through it, it's going to take a long time, I suppose, to kind of put everything into words. But take me back to when you're down 2-0 and maybe a point where you think it just might not happen. And then when it did turn around, I mean, it was close the whole way.
Yeah, you know, the first two sets, after I got home this weekend, I kind of got to be able to watch the game again in its entirety. I thought we played very well. We just had a few miscues here and there, and that was really only the difference in the match. If you looked at the stats, we were leading in the stat categories after two sets, so it was kind of a weird experience. So, and that third set, you know, we were battling, and I called a timeout, and I just could see in the girls' eyes that they were just not going to give in, and I felt really actually very good. We got back to the service line, and even though we had game point against us, my girls at the net just made some amazing plays, and after talking with them later, they didn't even realize that they were sitting on game point almost, you know, game could be over. And a couple of the plays they took, you know, Marissa took a big swing from the outside and got a kill, and she had a great dig on defense that kept us in that match, and she didn't even realize it was game point. That's how focused they were in on each point in the game, and I just had this feeling and got that third set that things were going to be different, and boy, they sure were.
Michelle, take us back. Did you guys know going into the Sterling game and district finals that you were in for sure?
Yeah, I knew we needed to get through that first match against Falls City Sacred Heart. You know, with our schedule, the points we had gotten, you know, beating some pretty quality teams there on our schedule kind of gave us a cushion between us and the next team that was behind us. You know, that if we had happened to have lost that Sterling match at sub, that we would probably get in. And my girls didn't know that though, because I didn't say a word to them about it. I said, you needed to win. And because we know what it's like to be on that other end, you know, the last 2 years we've just missed out on a wild card, and that was kind of our little slogan that last week before sub-districts. Last season we lost out by, I think it was 0.015, ended up being the difference between us getting in with a wild card and not. So .015 was written all over the place in our gym for a while, and the girls knew that, you know, they played to win that night against Sterling, and they were disappointed. They thought that their season was over until I kind of texted them back later that night on the way home and, you know, kind of said, I think we're going to be okay. And, you know, they were amazed that we were still going to be in, because they were pretty convinced that we weren't going to make it after if we didn't win that match. And but they played to win that match, and it was a great match back then. These two teams just pulled the best out of each other, I think.
We're talking with Lawrence Nelson, head volleyball coach Michelle Harrington, capturing the school's first state volleyball championship. After so much success with the football team, it's the volleyball's team turn this year in the fall. And Michelle, this squad has been coming together here for you over the last 5-6 years as we've watched you come through that Twin Valley Conference. And you touched on the competition this year. That conference has seemed to be tougher and tougher. Blue Hill, Shelton the last few years, just to name a couple. And you guys then saw Sandy Creek. You saw some other teams. Palmer was a very good team that you played right at the end of the season. But you guys always seem to get through it. And you got a few of these kids coming back.
Yeah, you know, our senior class was pretty big this year. And, you know, those girls have been working very hard since freshmen. They were at state, you know, as freshmen. And that year we made it to the semifinal. And I kind of talked to them with about, you know, if the circumstances would have been different for that state tournament, whereas we could play one game a day, you know, I really felt that year we could have been in a state final, because we battled Shelton for the fourth game of the year that year at state and won in five, and then we had turned around in about 2-3 hours and play again. And it was the mental part of the game that we were just not able to do. And that's what we preached about this last week, was mental toughness is going to get you through this next three matches. And, you know, I was hard on them at practice. I made up with a lot of drills that were pretty hard to be successful in. I mean, you're almost going to lose them, but, you know, and we did things in practice just so they could have a way to handle things. And, you know, they did it at moments the whole weekend in every game. They came through some big plays when needed, and I just kind of think that toughness they had, they just were not going to give in. It just pulled them through, especially on Saturday.
That Van Groningen girl's pretty good, isn't she?
Oh, she's outstanding. You know, it's, you know, 5'4" and can get up and you know, get around a block with no problem. You know, that first match we played, we dug her all right, but when she got warmed up, we just could not stop her in the third, fourth, and fifth set at our sub-districts. And, you know, we just changed a little bit. We kind of threw a double block off on her with one of my taller girls in the front row, and we did get a lot of great touches, but my defense in the back row, they just dug her a lot Saturday. I was just so impressed with, you know, they just were in the right spot, and they were focused, and we kept the ball on our side of the net, and that, I thought that was huge for us to keep plays going in both sides. I thought it was a great game after watching it, to see that nobody wanted to hit the ball to hit the floor. Everybody was just working so hard, and it was fun to watch again.
Yeah, I don't think you could have told, you couldn't tell that this was a D2 volleyball out there. It was an excellent match. It was a very well-played match. And Michelle, enjoy it with your kids, and make sure that I don't have to be on the other side of Kelsey Biltoft in warm-ups ever, because I don't want to get knocked over.
Okay, I think the girls had their medals on this morning at school, and they're still talking about it, so it's going to be a great topic of conversation for the next couple of weeks, I think.
She comes back.
Yeah, she does come back. Hey, Michelle.
Yeah, she does.
enjoy it, and we look forward to seeing you guys again next season.
All right, thanks very much.
You bet. Lawrence Nelson, head volleyball coach, Michelle Harrington, Sharon Zavala from Grand Island Central Catholic, a couple of the state champions. You know what, a couple of the teams that in Northwest and also Kearney Catholic, I thought they played well in the finals. I mean, Central Catholic, I mean, you're number two in the state, so let's look at that there. Hey, folks, if you don't, Irish Ken, you want to fix stupid, you probably want to fix those volleyball rankings. But if you see something in sports you want to fix, email us here at the Doug and Daddy Show, and you may win a pair of front row seats to the Ron White concert coming up this Friday night at the Viero Event Center. Just shoot us an email anytime to DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Put the word stupid in the subject line and vent out about something stupid you'd like to fix in sports. And the best entries go into the hopper. We'll draw out a winner on Thursday's show for a pair of Ron White tickets.
Our friend Huck chimes in and says, I think something stupid in sports is they have to kick the extra point when no time's left in regulation. Going back to the Jaguars' miracle finish versus the Texans.
You have the Jags in the 30 pool?
I think it was something related to the 30 pool.
Oh, what if you have the Patriots in the 30 pool and you're up 29 to 10 and you decide to go for two?
Mark
in Minden says, where do I send the graduation card for Grand Island Central Catholic? That's going to be the most highly attended graduation ever to see those kids make sure that they actually graduate. Bob Jensen, high school football, Merck and Morris, coming up. We'll be right back.
A message to all of you who don't have blazing foot speed and supernatural strength. You're probably not going to get a football scholarship. But you do have a chance to win some tuition this college football season in Dr. Pepper's $1 million tuition giveaway. Go to drpepper.com. Tell us why you should be one of the winners. There's nothing like a free ride. There's nothing like a pepper. No purchase necessary. Go to drpepper.com for details.
Exxon and Mobil have a little something in our gasoline that can make a big difference for all you drivers out there. Actually, it's smaller than little. It's tiny. Microscopic, even. We're talking about a molecule, a complex molecule that, when added to gasoline, helps remove deposits that build up on your intake valves and helps keep fuel injectors clean. So your car runs cleaner. Smart gasoline. It's just one more way Exxon and Mobil make gasoline work harder for you.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. When it comes to keeping it simple, having your auto and home insured by the same company just makes sense. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, we make it easy to combine and save. And you pay only one deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence if you have a loss. To learn more, call Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney at 234-4922. 234-4922. Farm Bureau makes insurance simple. Call them at 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Some breaks this center are possible early on today, but then skies will become cloudy with an isolated shower later in the day as well. With highs around 53, west winds will stay at about 5 to 15. There's an isolated chance of a shower tonight with a low at 33. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 46.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Monday Night Football tonight here on ESPN Radio. It will be the Eagles and the Redskins kicking off at 7:40. Of course, we've got the state football playoffs for you. Overton taking on Creighton on Classic Hits 98.9. Giltner Howells on the Breeze 94.5 FM. And I just want to say this one thing before we get into Merck and Morris. I am not even worried about... You can keep sending in your Pittsburgh Steelers. Doug has to do this if they win the Super Bowl. That was embarrassing last night. New England's defense, not that good. You're at home, and you have 3 points late in the third quarter. I'm not concerned. Pittsburgh, I wish there was a way they didn't even make the playoffs. I at least thought they were a good football team, but that was embarrassing last night.
They're beat up. They didn't have an offensive line. They didn't know the name of the offensive line.
College, they got to go to their fourth string kid that doesn't deserve to be there. They're professional football players.
Well, nobody.
What about their defense? Does that mean their defense can't stop New England?
Well, their defense has been much maligned all year long, too.
Well, then why did anybody ever think that this team could win the Super Bowl? Why was everybody telling me this is the best team of the National Football League?
Well, because everybody expected them to go 0-4 to start the season without Roethlisberger, and they went 3-1.
Huh. Wonder what happened since he's been back. He didn't look good last night either.
No, he didn't look good, but once again, they had four guys that he never saw before trying to block for him.
Well, whatever. I was disappointed.
Hey, I'm sure tonight people walking around this afternoon about 5 o'clock listening to us on their ghetto blasters, you know? You know, they get the ghetto box. Yeah, that's right. You need to head to the Chicken Coop because they got bull fries and french fries right here in Kearney. 5 to 10 p.m., they've got them for you. Only $5.99 boneless chicken wings, night for only 40 cents. 13 wing flavors await you every Monday night, 5 to 10 p.m., 40 cents chicken wing night and bull fries. That's going on at the Kearney Chicken Coop. At both Chicken Coops, you've got all your favorite sports on TV. You got 15 high-definition TVs. It's not a bad scene now. Plus, there's great food and drink specials every night. Bull fries tonight.
Come see them for Monday Night Football, Daddy.
Perfect opportunity. And you know what? You'll have to turn down your ghetto blaster just a little bit, but you'll still be able to hear us on the radio. But still, bull fries tonight at Chicken Coop.
Mondays with Merck and Morris, and unfortunately, Daddy, our final one because both seasons come to an end. We knew that was going to be the case with Hastings College, but we sure didn't expect that this was going to happen with UNK, even if they do get clipped. And first we'll talk about the game, then we'll kind of talk about the playoff scenario, which everybody wants to get a part of. But UNK, like last year, lose the first game, lose the last game. But this year, Tony, both in overtime, 9-2. And I guess that's not good enough to make the NCAA playoffs, even with the respect that you would have thought they garnered last year with a playoff victory.
Well, that's certainly correct. And Coach Daryl Morris joins us right now on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk about all that is UNK football. Daryl, a disappointing loss. I thought you had some great individual performances, and the kids didn't short you on effort, I know.
No, it's about as disappointing a loss as I've ever been associated with, really, to go from, 18 or 19 conference wins in a row, a playoff win the year before, winning 25 of your last 30 games, and to get knocked out of the national playoffs, which in Division II, fellas, the most difficult championship bracket to get into in college sports, Division II football. You got to be in the top 24 in the country. You know, there ain't 64 bowl games to go to at Division II. So, it was a kick in the shorts for the fellas for sure.
Coach, you were playing catch-up all day. You did catch up. It seemed like maybe you would have had the momentum going into overtime and you score first. But this Mines team found a way to just keep things going.
Well, I think they were having one of those years. You know, they basically essentially lost to Colorado State of Pueblo and then got a Pueblo was offsides on the last play of the game, so they get another shot at it and throw a pass if the kid couldn't throw again if his life depended on it. The kid that caught it couldn't catch it again if his life depended on it, so they win that ball game. So they just had a year where things really went their way. The ball bounced their way, and sometimes you got to have those kind of years, to be successful, and they're in the midst of one of those seasons.
Daryl, rest and drink, 231 yards, 4 touchdowns, just a difference maker for this offense.
No question. And, again, a combination of Rustin and Kyle Kaiser. And I'll tell you who played just a dynamite game for us was Brendan Lees played a great game, 10, 11 catches. And just did a great job blocking, did a great job on special teams. And you put those three guys in there together, that makes Rustin better, that makes Spitzelberger better, that makes Lee's better, that makes Kaiser better. So, yeah, he did a great job for us, and he basically ran over him, around him, and threw him.
Brendan Lee's had 11 catches for 157 yards in that ball game. Obviously, career highs there. And Daryl Morris, the head football coach at UNK, joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. There's a whole game. There's a lot of points, but everybody wants to take it right down to the end. You had them 4th-and-2 in the third overtime. Take us through that play and then the subsequent 2-point conversion.
Well, to be honest with you, I can't exactly remember how the play went down, but we just struggled to stop them all day long, and that's disappointing. Defense was our strong suit, and we were depending on those guys, and we just couldn't quite get the stops, and it seemed like we were a half a step away from breaking up the pass, or a half a step away from being able to get to the quarterback before he could get rid of it, and and then the formation that they used, which is a heavy formation, what we call it, a couple of defensive tackles in the backfield. They used it on us 3 times, didn't run the ball 1 time, and scored on all 3 of them. So probably didn't do a great job defending that formation. And we're in man-to-man coverage, and kids got caught peeking in the backfield thinking they were going to run it and let guys slip by them. They ran a pick route, what everybody calls a pick route. They did a nice job with it and picked the guy off and got a score on it. So, we just couldn't make the play when we needed to.
Daryl, you're 8th overall in the country in the coaches' poll. You lose to the 21st ranked team overall in the nation at their place in triple overtime. Okay, so you should fall to 14th, 15th, 16th. 24 teams make the playoffs. How the hell do you get left out?
Well, you know, I've been on the ranking committee before, and basically the way it worked is, and I haven't been told this officially, but I know this way it came down. They dropped us from 4 to 6. They raised them from 8 to 7, and then the head-to-head competition allowed them to jump up to 6 and drop us down to 7. So I imagine we ended up number 7 in the rankings there at some point, you know. But yeah, I'm disappointed. You know, the RMAC, and that's the commissioner's job. J.R. Smith and I think Brad Smith at Chadron was on that committee. You know, they needed to try to really battle for the RMAC and not allow the RMAC to get punked the way it did. Augustana from the Northern Sun got beat by Wayne State last week or 2 weeks ago and only dropped one spot in the rankings. So, you know, for us to lose to a 21-ranked team and, you know, and then drop two spots and then get knocked out of it, that's a pretty tough pill to swallow.
Coach, when you were riding back on the bus and yesterday morning, did you think that you were going to get in, or did you kind of know the writing was on the wall?
I I've been on that committee and I know what the RMAC's trying to fight, and I knew the MIAA wasn't going to have it any other way but have three teams in it, and the Northern Sun had two teams. I mean, they got the number one team in the country at Duluth, and then they got Augustana sitting there at number two in the region. So I figured we were probably in big trouble.
Well, unfortunately, this is where we talk about all the great kids, and you mentioned Elise, you mentioned Kaiser, Matthews and Brodeen and Rody, who are kids we've seen play since their sophomore years in high school. I mean, you're going to have, obviously, and you've been doing a great job. The staff's been doing a great job replacing them, but you always lose a good crew of seniors.
Yeah, you know, and that's college football. There's a certain number of years they let you play, and then you have to move on and go get a real job. And, those kids, we're going to miss them. There's no question. Their leadership, if you think about what, Josh Rody and Mason Brodeen and Orion Matties and the rest of them, Adam Drudick and all of Brendan Lease and Kyle Kaiser and what they've done for this program, 25 out of their last 30 games they've won. I mean, that's phenomenal. And they've just done a tremendous job of leading our team and being good citizens, and they're all going to graduate, and they're exactly what UNK is looking for in student athletes.
Darryl, I know the scouts come around. Any of these seniors have an opportunity to play at the next level?
There's some scouts snooping around a little bit. They have a little interest in Mason Brodeen, I think, and they look at Orion, but Ryan's a pretty beat-up dude, man. I mean, I don't know if he's got a good joint in his body left. And, Kyle, they like Kyle, but they think he looks like a cross-country runner so physically. So I think Mason might be the guy that might have a little opportunity, and he might have to, start out at a lower level of professional athletics and see if he couldn't then get a shot at the NFL or something like that after maybe playing arena ball or maybe the UFL. You never know.
Well, Coach, we always appreciate the time you give us every week, and we look forward to chatting with you in the off season. And I mean, what a run you guys have had, and I don't think it's over. I mean, just one loss does not constitute the end to a run, but something that we can hopefully build on with UNK for next season.
Well, we hope so, fellas. We appreciate your coverage week in and week out, and the support that you guys give us. And we're RMAC champions, and I don't care what Bob said at Colorado Mine says, we're RMAC champs, and we're going to, when they show up to play a home game here for us, a home game next year, it'll say 2010 RMAC champs on our board. So I'm going to make sure that Mr. McBride gets that up in time.
Coach, always appreciate it. Great season, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, fellas.
Mondays with Merck & Moore is brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank. Your lifestyle, your bank, and your solution is Five Points Bank. They take care of their customers one at a time, so you get the personal service you deserve at Five Points Bank. Check them out in the Tri-Cities. And as we said, Daddy, our final Merck & Morris. And I guess for Hastings College, it's also different this year, but they're able to win back-to-back games and get to that 500. And 2 weeks ago, that was the goal. And Paul Merkowitz, head coach of the Broncos, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So, Coach, from that standpoint, good finish to the season.
Yeah, it really was. You know, we really challenged our guys. You know, when we were 3-5, we were in a pretty bad place as a team. And I give our guys credit because they really battled through it. You know, I think you saw the character of our football team, especially in the first half, jumping out to a 17-0 lead. And we gave Nebraska Wesleyan, especially early on, they couldn't match our energy. We were just really, ready to play and played extremely well and did what we needed to do to win the game in the end.
Well, Coach, you guys forced turnover after turnover in this ball game, and that's something they're just not putting the ball on the carpet because you're not hitting them in the mouth. So you guys must have been all over them on the defensive side of the ball.
We really were, and there was a couple of others in there, interceptions that we dropped, and we could easily have been up 24-0. We almost had an interception on a screen right towards the end of the half, which we had a defensive back walk right in the end zone with that. So defensively, really, really played well, gave them a bunch of different looks that they hadn't seen before, and I think it really confused them.
Well, talking last week and the way it's went the last couple of years, this is kind of what we figured would happen. Whoever wins the turnover battle is going to win the game because this has been such a defensive, low-scoring ball game, and it wasn't like either team's offense really tore it up. And for NAIA, keeping it under 300 yards, that's a heck of a deal.
Yeah, it was tough going, moving the football, and like I said, we were fortunate enough to execute well in the first half and do some things, and then, in the second half, the wind was really a factor getting through the third quarter, and then, we just kind of did what we needed to do to try to hang on in the end, but we knew it was going to be, it was 17-0 at half, but we knew that it wasn't going to be a 17-point game. We knew we had a battle on our hands.
Coach, talk about them coming out and that drive they put together to start the second half.
Well, we just got out of our fits a little bit because they really didn't do very much. They didn't really make a lot of changes. They did tweak a couple of things, but they just started to get some plays and they started to kind of figure some things out. And our defensive staff and our players did a really nice job of adjusting after that drive and giving them some different things. And we tweaked some things and made some changes as well. And so, it was really a game of adjustments and how we dealt with some of the things they did at halftime. It took us a series to really kind of get used to it. But then defensively, I thought we settled in really, really well.
Paul Merkowitz, head football coach at Hastings College, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, Coach, I guess when we take a look at the season overall, I mean, some fans and some kids go, that's just coach speak. But it was pretty basic things that determined whether Hastings College won football games or lost football games this year, turnovers being probably number one.
Maybe number two and number three. I mean, the last couple of weeks we were very productive because we stopped turning the football over. I think a lot of things went into that. Again, we stressed it a little bit more, I think we were a little bit more patient offensively and stopped taking some of the risks and put a little bit more on our defense, and I think that helped. With 2 weeks to go, I think we were -6 in turnovers, and we wind up the season at zero. We battled our way back to that. That was kind of our goal, that was really the big thing in the games that we lost.
Coach, at this time every year, we did it with Daryl Morris. We'll do it with you. You talk about the seniors that are done with their careers at Hastings College.
Yeah, it was. I think we talked about it last week. We knew it was going to be an emotional day, and it really, really was. And senior day is special for football. It's just like I said. It's just a little different. I think you don't see 22 guys in full gear in a park playing football. Once you're done with your career football-wise, it's pretty much over. And so special young men, to go through. A lot of our guys are four-year guys. They're going to graduate on time and do really good things. And so just really proud of them and their accomplishments.
I'd have been a five-year guy if I'd have played for you.
that is true. That'd be kind of strange. We're driving down the highway. Hey, there's what are those 22 full padded men doing out there playing football? Paul, we know quarterback will be one spot, but where are the immediate areas that you're going to have to fill in and you're looking at and addressing for next year where you're going to have to plug some people in right away?
Well, offense and defensive line. I mean, I think we need to get better up front in the offensive line and if we want to do the things the way we've been doing them. And then in the defensive line, we graduate some really good football players. And so that's kind of been – we've known that for a while coming, and so that's kind of been our focus here over the last couple of months with the guys that we've been working with. And there's a lot of good quality football players, right around the area here that could really help us. And so we just really need to get back out on the road and get some things done that way.
Paul, I know there's sad mad around the UNK campus. Tell us about the NAIA playoff picture that you broke down a little bit for us earlier.
Well, Sioux Falls is going to host Northwest Oklahoma. They're the number one seed, and that should be a pretty good game up there. And then Morningside is going to host Dickinson State. That's going to be a heck of a game. That's a 7-9 matchup. And then it gets kind of dicey after that. You get into, regions and areas, and it's not necessarily 1 versus 16 and 15 versus 2. So you get that. And, really in the NAIA,
I think people think that the top 16 go. They don't. It's you got to be in the top 20, and there's a lot of conference champions and that type of stuff in there. But it's an odd year because you got teams like a William Penn at 10-1, number 13 in the country, doesn't make it. You know, Northwestern out of our league, number 15 in the country at 8-2, didn't make it. And so, you know, it's tough that way. And, you know, we were my first year, I remember here, we went 8-2 and didn't make it, actually lost both after a win. So it's tough that way. And it's not as cut and dry as what people think. But, you know, those guys, all those teams had really nice seasons.
And they always wonder where some of that booster money goes. It's like a lobbyist with these people in the NAIA and the NCAA. Last question, Paul, before we let you go, because there are changes coming to this conference. There was a change this year with the school closing. What's the future look like next year for the fans out there?
Well, you know, we're really excited. You know, it's going to be tough losing a team like Sioux Falls. I mean, you know, they've given us in this conference a lot of national variety, but I think there's some really good football teams in this league. And we should announce, I'm hoping here in the next couple of weeks, our schedule with our non-conference games and things like that. We'll play a nine-game conference schedule and then one, maybe two non-conference games. So we're pretty excited for what's coming up next. And I think the league's going to be very, very good.
You didn't want to announce that right now?
What's that?
Those two opponents you're going to be playing?
No, we're not sure. I know I'm not exactly sure what we're doing with all that yet.
All right, Coach. As always, we appreciate catching up with you. It's always a joy, especially after wins, and we look for a lot more next season. And to keep up the great work with you and your coaching staff at Hastings College.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Coach Paul Merkowitz, Hastings College Broncos, and our Mondays with Merck and Morris brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank. Go to fivepointsbank.com and check out Solutions. It's products and services that complement the way you live. So whatever your lifestyle, you'll find banking with Five Points Bank, the better bank, is just simply better. And hard to believe that the college football season is over for these two schools. The all-conference coming out this week. They're going through that process this week. So we'll see how that all pans out. And Daddy, obviously we could take a whole nother show on this playoff deal. You know, the RMAC still isn't respected in Division II, I can tell you that. There's no doubt about that. It's weird that Northwestern is left out. They lost to, it's kind of the way it always is. Sioux Falls goes unbeaten. Morningside has one loss. It's to Sioux Falls. And then the team who's able to beat everybody else, last year it was Hastings, this year it was Northwestern. They don't get in? Really? They lost to two top five teams.
It just doesn't seem, you know, what are you playing for in the big scheme of things? For the love of the game, I guess, for, you know, the 10 games you got out there. You played 10 Saturdays, and that's the season. It's disappointing. It's disappointing for UNK. And you know what? I think if anybody's got at least a decent taste in their mouth, it's Paul Merkowitz. So finish the season like they did, two wins, get back to 500. I think that's a pretty good way to go into the offseason. That's a heck of a lot better. 5-5 is a heck of a lot better than 4-6, I'll tell you that.
We got more on the Doug and Daddy Show, so stay with us. We're back after this.
Live from Progressive.
Flo again, talking about something dear to my heart.
Saving money.
And we have Marcy.
Hi, can I really find other car insurance companies' rates on Progressive.com?
Sure can. It makes rate shopping fast and saving as easy as pie.
Oh, it's got to be easier than that. Ever tried making a pecan pie?
It can get soupy.
Visit Progressive.com to compare rates and start saving today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Comparison rates not available in Massachusetts and certain other states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is the sound of a Yellow Book print ad working for Rincon Vista Veterinary Center.
Drop it.
Ching. And Yellow Book search engine marketing working for their business.
Next.
Ching. And a yellowbook.com online video ad running smoothly.
Ching.
The thing is, with Yellow Book's full spectrum of marketing tools, small businesses like Rincon Vista Veterinary Center can hear the sound of success. Yellow Book 360. Go beyond yellow. Call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit yellowbook360.com today.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed.
Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week. Practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week. Awesome food and drink specials. And the beer's so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up. Threw for three touchdowns. Even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
Grillers know that when a rub is good, the steak is better. And when the rub is from Hole-in-One Farms, the result is near magic. Hole-in-One Farms Java Rub combines aromatic spices and peppers, a hint of sugar, and of all things, coffee, which enhances the meat flavor as it leaves the grill a beautiful coffee brown. Ask your grocer where they stock the Hole-in-One Farms products. Click on the Hole-in-One Farms link at kkpr.com to read the Hole-in-One story.
Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, where Misco Sports wants you to get ready for the winter sports season by picking up their brand-name clothing, shoes, and athletic apparel from Adidas, Mizuno, Nike, and a whole lot more. Whether it's basketball, whether it's wrestling, it doesn't matter. They've got it for you. Get your game on at Misco Sports, open 7 days a week in the downtown Kearney Center. Men's college and NFL hoodies, 25% off. And if you want a Husker t-shirt, sweatshirt, they've got it. Over 40 styles, men, women, and children. But now's the time to start thinking about Christmas presents. Now's the time to about get ready for winter sports season. Whether you're playing high school, college, intramurals, or you just want to kick back and relax, they've got the gear for you. Plus, officials, Daddy, they'll take care of you too.
Yeah, they've got triple mediums and everything.
Hey, the final D2 coaches poll is out. UNK falls from 8th to 19th after losing a triple overtime game on the road to the team that moved up to 16, Colorado Mines. I've never understood it. They are the second highest rated team to not make the playoffs. Wayne State of Michigan, who's also 9-2, is 12th in the country. They don't make it. UNK 19th doesn't make it. Michigan Tech 21st and Fort Valley State of Georgia 22nd are the only teams in the top 25 that do not make it in to the Division II playoffs. And speaking of playoffs, we are there for D and C today, D, C tomorrow. But Bob Jensen joins us from Huskerland Prep. I feel bad for those Aurora kids who play without their starting quarterback and miss a wide open halfback pass that probably would have won the football game. Bob, you ever seen anything quite like that performance that Aurora gave?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. As always, Judah, and do not, and I repeat, do not feel sorry for the Aurora boys. I tell you what, I can't imagine that there should be anything but just great respect for what that team achieved the other day. Without the single most dynamic player in the entire class, they still had a chance to win that ball game. And I wrote about it on the web, and I will stand by it. That is the best call I have ever seen at a high school football game. It was executed perfectly, almost. And, it's one of those deals where, sure, if anything but an overthrow, and Schaefer scores, anything but an overthrow. He's 25 yards behind the nearest guy, and it's a shame that didn't work, but I'm telling you what, Aurora they played like champions the other day. And I can't imagine anything. I'm sure they were excited to a degree at Crete. I would think relief would be the emotion of the day, though. They were lucky to get out of there with a win. And that's not to say that they're not deserving and that they're still probably going to win state. But that could have very easily been a different ballgame, but for a couple feet on that pass.
Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bob, obviously with a D1, D2 field set for today, the game we're doing Overton at Creighton, and then the other area game, Pitts-Giltner against Howells. Take those two in that order.
Hey, that's kind of funny. I'm going to be at the Overton-Creighton game. I guess we'll be there together. That'll be nice. But here's the deal. Creighton has been scary in the playoffs. I'm sure you guys can read, or at least I'm fairly sure you can read. 132-15, they've outscored their opponent so far. Now, granted, they haven't played anything like what they're going to see. And, you know, their big win, their trophy win so far in this playoff run is a win against Alma, where it took them a long time to kind of get going against Alma. That's no knock on Alma. But with just a little bit of thought, you will remember back to what Overton did to Alma. They humiliated Alma in that first quarter with 42 points. And Overton got through those first three games. They were all banged up. They were minus a couple starters. The Seaburger kid, Zach Olmstead, was out. Those are big holes to fill on any team. And Overton managed to overcome that and get as far as these kids are now back. And they're, according to Coach Snodgrass, they're both going to be ready to go. That's going to be a tremendous boost. I think Overton wins the ball game. I don't think Creighton's going to be able to stop Overton from scoring. And Creighton may score some, but I think Creighton's not going to score enough. I think Overton's going to win that game. And is it possible? I'm sure you guys have asked yourself this too. Is it possible that Giltner's better without Nate Most? It makes you stop and think, because I've actually seen them play a couple times in the last month. They're really good. And Sean Finley at quarterback is a playmaker. I mean, he isn't going to set no state record or anything like that, but I'll guarantee you there isn't any offense that wants to have to, or defense rather, wants to have to deal with him. The run-pass option is just tremendous. Not very many 5'6 running backs scare you, but this Derek Eastman should scare you. The kid is really good. You see him come out of the huddle, you think, I'm thinking maybe we can handle this guy. Well, nobody's really been able to handle him, in part because his line is so good. But Eastman's got enough speed, and so does Finley. When they get out in the open, they can seal the deal. They can go the distance. And there is no more dynamic defensive player, and I'm counting the guys from Howell than Drew Ott from Giltner. I was near that boy the other day on the sideline, a lot nearer than I intended to be a couple times. He's got to be large, and he's really good. I think they're going to make a run at Howell. You wonder maybe just a little, is there a chink in Howell's armor, just a chink? But I don't know, man. They absolutely annihilated St. Francis the other night. That was a little bit of a, there was a little bit of doubt, or there's at least doubt on my part. I wondered what would happen. I thought St. Fran had a chance. They had no chance. If Howell's left part of its game on the field that night, if they come with anything less than a great effort, Giltner might be able to get an upset. But this is still Howell's game to win, and it's going to be one of those things where Giltner just can't afford any mistakes if they want to pull an upset.
And real quick, Bob, the other two games being played today, Mullen-Sargent and Bancroft-Rosalie, West Point CC. Tomorrow is Class C, and we've got Hastings-St. Cecilia in action against North Platte-St. Pat's. Just a thought on that game.
Well, North Platte-St. Pat's, great comeback against Cambridge. That showed a lot of guts. Cambridge could have won that game two different plays. Except just missed on a pass, kind of like Aurora did on that wheel route, and then Gus Peterson falls down on a slant, or maybe he scores. Regardless, they're there. I just don't think St. Pat's can pass the ball well enough to beat St. Cecilia. It's the same drum I've been beating all year. You got to throw to beat St. Cecilia. I don't know that St. Pat's can do that well enough, and I think St. Cecilia gets one step closer to what seems an inevitable state championship.
Bob, we got to get on the road, and we'll see you in a little bit.
Absolutely, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Bob will be back to preview the state finals on Friday here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and you can find out his predictions and a breakdown of the games on his website at huskerlandpreps.rivals, and you'll be able to pick that up and get all of the very latest on today's football matchup. So thanks, Bob Jensen, as always, from Huskerland Prep Report. To Daryl Morris and Paul Berkowitz, UNK and Hastings College football coaches, not only today but throughout the season. That's about all you can say. And now we have to get ready and watch to see if the Huskers can beat Texas A&M. And a lot of people are having their doubts. So
4-point favorites.
Maybe that'll be exciting, because the doubters have really been put in their place most of the year. Nebraska seems to come out and get the job done. Also, congratulations and thanks to joining us on the show today to Michelle Harrington of Lawrence Nelson and Sharon Zavala of Grand Island Central Catholic, the state championship volleyball coaches in C1 and D2. Tomorrow, Bo Pelini's press conference. Going to talk a little hockey because it's a home game for the Storm tomorrow. Drew Schenick will join us on tomorrow's Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, listen to us this afternoon. Creighton takes on Overton on Classic. It's 98.9, 5 o'clock go time there. We'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, 1460 in Kearney, 1550 in Hastings.
Oh, and by the way, Howard didn't do so well in Pigskin Pick'em.
Oh, yeah. How'd we do in Pick'em? Forgot about that.
Well, we got 6-4 for Doug, 6-4 for Daddy, and 2-8 for Howard. So hopefully he's right about Overton tonight.
How'd you do on your selections,
Daddy? Oh, bad. Let's go. Let's go. We'll deal with that tomorrow. Let's put it off for another 24 hours.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Drew.
Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Yeah.